start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Seabell's now become Three Bell as he's the dominant driver on the NASCAR Cup Series. And what are the options for tires in the future? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and Heather DeBow from PRN.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Kelly and also Heather here. We got a lot to talk about this week. And, you know, to break up a subject we've talked about the last 2 weeks, Kelly. Yeah, Christopher Bell.
Copy paste everything or just rewind the tape of everything everybody's already said.
The kid is impressive. And I kind of like the new tag, Three Bell. But that Four Bell doesn't work as well.
No, it doesn't. I thought that was pretty funny, too. That made me chuckle. Good call by Joe Gibbs Racing on social media there, right? It's always good when you can be clever and you're quick on the take on social and you have something that sticks around for a while. So I think that one got some play.
Yeah, and it didn't come easy for him, Heather. I mean, he had to work hard for that, holding off his teammate Denny Hamlin. But I would argue that he's become the number one guy at Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting to watch the finish of that race for sure. And holding off Denny Hamlin is not an easy task for anybody, teammate or not a teammate. But I've really enjoyed watching Christopher Bell these last 3 weeks because each win has been different. Some of them have come kind of easy. Some of them have been a little bit like this past weekend in Phoenix. He was more dominant throughout the entire race, but still had to work hard at the end. But what I've loved the most is after each and every victory, the smile on his face, you can tell that he's really enjoying himself. And I feel like we're seeing a new Christopher Bell that we all knew was in there, that we all knew we had this talented guy that was going to come out and kick butt ever since we've seen him racing on dirt and any other discipline he's been in. But it's really been neat to see him kind of come into that. This like might be where we finally see Christopher Bell in championship form consistently, like all season long, and then maybe even be a champion at the end of the year. You never know.
Well, we talked a little on the show last week, Kelly, about the fact that I think people maybe don't appreciate how good he is. And you miss the fact that he was this close to making the championship for last year, which would have been three straight years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, he's been championship material, certainly, I feel like the last 3 or 4 years. To your point about maybe people not paying enough attention, I think, and this is not a knock on Christopher, I think it's just how it works in this sport. Jimmy Johnson was the same way. He's so normal and so, I use the word like normal, that comes off as boring. And so because he's not flashy, because he's not overconfident, whatever word you want to use to describe him, I think that's why folks don't latch on to him. I think you could say the same thing about other drivers like a William Byron. They just go out and get the job done. And they're so good at what they do. For Bell, he has always been so good at what he does. I think the last couple of years, the difference has been doing it on a consistent basis, and how far that 20 team has come, and how much better he and Adam Stevens have been together. And there's just so many ways you can break it down. But everyone has known this about Bell. We expect it from Bell. But again, when you're not someone that's, you know, flashy or over the top, whatever you want to be, it's easy to overlook them until the last 3 weeks where at the end of the day, it's like, wait, where did he come from? How is he doing this?
But you're right. And Heather, you talk about this. I mean, the guy is, people refer to him as boring. But then I made the remark to my son after the race on Sunday. Yeah, but look what he did when he got out of the car on Sunday and just screamed to the crowd. We're beginning to see his personality, and my favorite moment of that Netflix series a couple of years ago was when they came to him. They didn't start with him at the beginning, but they came to him, I think it was Las Vegas, and they said, hey, yeah, you know, they came to us with a list of drivers to talk to, and Bell goes, let me guess, I wasn't on the list, was I? No, you weren't. And he just goes, imagine that. I mean, it was such a dry, dry sense of humor. And it was the perfect line, and he delivered it perfectly. And he's got that dry sense of humor, Heather. And now we're beginning to see some of his personality come out, as I guess maybe as he builds confidence and be more confident in the spotlight.
Yeah, and I think what's helped with that, I mean, some people have talked about, he's allowed a dirt race again, which Joe Gibbs never used to allow his drivers to go run on the dirt. So now he can do that, which is, you know, where he started, and that's kind of his home, and that's what makes him happy. So maybe just having that, being able to do more of what he truly deeply loves and like where he came from, like his roots, I think that would definitely benefit him in confidence. And then obviously, Kelly mentioned it, his team, Adam Stevens is excellent. That team's been gelling. And the pit crew, I actually, prior to the race in Phoenix, I ran into Darrell Edwards, who's his jack man. And I just kind of said, hey, and he's like, yeah, we're going for that hat trick today, but man, I don't know if we can do it. And I don't know what possessed me, but I just kind of was like, you guys got this. You can totally do it. Like, why couldn't you do it? Because I just, in my head, look at them as a very strong team overall when it comes to driver, crew chief, pit crew, and other guys that work on that car week in and week out. I think they have what it takes, and they're proving it right now.
Remind me to take you to the sports book with me before we go to the track this weekend.
I know. I think I'm the luck, good luck charm, maybe. I don't know. Because I did interview Christopher at COTA when I was working with PRN, so maybe there's something to it. I don't know. I wasn't in Atlanta though, so I can't claim all
Oh,
the
well,
wins.
maybe take 2/3 of them there.
Yeah,
But
there you
that's
go.
the thing, where the kid has a personality, or the young man, he's not a kid anymore, the young man. But like you said, Kelly, he's just normal. And, it's people used to say the same thing about Jimmy Johnson. I say, you forget this is the guy who got hurt surfing on a golf cart.
Yeah, that is true. I think you can say, again, I think you can say the same thing for a lot of drivers. I mean, Kyle Larson is kind of the same way, right? He goes and does his job. Every so often you get, you know, blunt Larson, as people like to say, because he'll come out with a zinger, right? Like when he lets his opinion fly. Chase Elliott's the most popular driver, but I think a lot of people in the garage would say the same thing. Like he's just so normal and so boring. He doesn't put himself out there. So, but in terms of Bell, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else there is to say, just that, because he just gets the job done. He keeps to himself. I think he's very re well respected in the garage. He clearly has the talent. You know, Heather touched on the dirt racing aspect, and I know that's been talked about a little bit the last couple weeks, but I really think that that is a big part of what is going on right now, because it is so good for Christopher Bell's mental health. And you know, kind of a shameless plug, I have a piece coming out on ESPN later this week talking to him about that. He was the driver that I, you know, the timing is perfect considering the run he's been on, but talking about the difference when he is allowed to run dirt races versus when he couldn't run dirt races. And he really opened up about it. It was such an adjustment, and he was so resentful and so jealous watching other guys go run dirt, or just watching dirt races in general, that he had to find a way to basically change his life. He had to find other ways in between each Sunday to not focus on his last performance in the cup car, because he would just fixate on it so much. And he didn't have dirt racing to be a distraction. He didn't have dirt racing to go basically cleanse his mind and get him away from the NASCAR bubble. Since he's been dirt racing, when Joe Gibbs Racing said in November, hey, you guys can go do it again, I think everyone has noticed that, just the smile on his face. So that's what I mean by like the mental health aspect of it, of how much happier he is, how much more confident, content, and at peace he is. And you pair that with, again, a really good race team in that 20, which they could have won plenty more races at the end of 2024, but this is just now really coming together. It's just perfect right now. Like everything is right there in the recipe right now of why we are seeing what we have seen the last couple weeks.
Well, and Heather, Adam Stevens, his track record speaks for himself, and this is a great pairing, and it's the one pairing that Joe Gibbs didn't mess with during the offseason.
Absolutely. And I was listening to other podcasts today specifically, just because I feel like I'm still a little bit behind. I missed Daytona and Atlanta, so I'm trying to catch up on all the things. And I just think there's a lot of interesting things that came out of Phoenix and then going into Vegas. I'll be on pit road with PRN, so I'm just trying to do my homework. And I forget which podcast I was listening to, but it was somebody had mentioned how Adam Stevens sat down with Christopher Bell and was telling him, one day we're going to win multiple races in a row. Like, I've done it with Kyle Busch. I've sat in these exact chairs and done it, and we're going to do it again. And I mean, it's quite possible we could see the 20 in victory lane in Vegas. I mean, it's going to be a tall task for them, but they finished second last year. So I mean, I think it's good. I think the team has what it takes. I think Adam Stevens is a very smart guy. We've seen him get multiple wins with not only Christopher, but other drivers in the past. So, I mean, they might just be, like Kelly said, hitting everything right at the right time right now.
Well, one thing we saw in Phoenix was the option tire, and it met with rave reviews in Phoenix. So the question becomes, not only should we see it in the future at other tracks, but should we see it in the championship race? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Hey folks, it's Doug Rice. Did you know you can take PRN with you anywhere? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live races just about any place on the planet, and you will not miss a second of the action. Plus, you can hear our shows like the fantastic editions of Fast Talk, plus Brett McMillan on the Pit Reporters and Mark Garrow with Garage Fast. Get all the latest racing information right at your fingertips. The PRN mobile app, available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Heather DeBoe from PRN and also with Fox, and also Kelly Crandall with Racer.com and ESPN.com. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, we saw the option tire at Phoenix. We'd seen it before at Richmond. I don't think it worked as well at Richmond last year. And obviously we saw it at North Wilkesboro too, but it wasn't the same because it was an exhibition race, Heather. But I don't think it worked as well at Richmond as everybody kind of hoped, but boy, I thought it worked fantastic at Phoenix last week. We saw comers and goers. We saw people that had problems on pit road that were able to use the option tire to move back through the field and get their positions back. I thought it was a home run. How did you feel about it being there?
I thought it was great. I was on pit road with Jamie Little, and at a few points during the race, there was multiple strategies, like 10 to 12 happening. So keeping up with it was a little tricky for us too, because pit road's long, and then at Phoenix, it kind of curves all the way around. So not being able to physically see the tires at every single pit stall and knowing who was doing what got a little tricky at times. But prior to the race, I talked to, I believe it was Travis Mack, and he was telling me that Matt Kenseth was trying to peer pressure him into putting the reds on from the beginning, because they had to start, I think, 36th or something. Unfortunately, we only saw the primary tires on at the beginning, but I think it would have been interesting to see if any teams would have, rolled the dice and put reds on to start the race. But it was really cool when the first caution happened, then we saw Ryan Preece come all the way from the back up to like third. We did see a lot of comers and goers and a lot of different strategies of, you know, if the caution came out, let's take the reds off, go back to the yellows, save them for the end. If Ty Dillon didn't get that speeding penalty, where would he have finished during the race? But one thing I did want to note was, I'm kind of curious how far those softer tire compounds would actually last, because I don't really think we saw Too long of a run, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was maybe like 53 laps or so, and we saw Priest on the reds before the caution came out from that crash incident. And then I think he went back to primaries. But I was kind of interested to see how much fall off we would get on a really long run. Like I'm talking like 80 laps. Like would the tires even lasted past 60, or would we have seen them completely fall off and have to pit? So, but I thought it was interesting, added a lot of layers, kept it exciting. And then we still saw the fastest car, if you will, of Christopher Bell winning. So either way, if we would have not had the soft tire, we probably would have seen that, but at least there was excitement and things to watch and keep up with throughout, for sure.
I know Logano had a long run on the reds as well, and got up front and was able to stay up there for the bulk of his run. But Kelly, what did you think about it?
I thought it was one of the better Phoenix races that we've seen in recent memory, and that was the goal, right? It was to bring something that was going to help with the racing, particularly at Phoenix. And really, that's why they've been doing it at short tracks. You mentioned North Wilkesboro. They tried it out for the first time and then put it in a points-paying race for the first time at Richmond. So I agree with what you said about Richmond. I think we saw it could be used to team's advantages. Daniel Suarez, I think, was one of the bigger ones at Richmond that used it for track position and led a lot of laps. But Phoenix, I felt like, was exactly what they were looking for, where you had an extra layer to the race. You had something more to talk about. And by giving teams the option to, no pun intended, to use the options when they wanted, it added that other strategy layer, as Heather was talking about, of who's using them when. You know, Joey coming through the field because he had a penalty, and that not completely ruining his day. They had that in their pocket of, okay, we can make up time. To see Ty Dillon's team, one of those, Ryan Preece, you mentioned, to use it for track position to get up in the top 10. But you had the comers and goers, which was what we always talk about in this sport. We want to see races where people are coming and going. We want to see tire fall off and, you know, who's managing and who's coming through the leaderboard because they're doing something right, or who's using up their stuff. So from all of that, I thought it was a success, and I really liked what I saw. And again, I felt like it just added more for people to talk about.
Well, Heather, we see it in IndyCar with, you know, the two different types of tires that they run. Would you like to see it more often in NASCAR?
That's a good question. I liked it. But I think it'd be cool to just see just one soft tire compound. Like, I've always covered short track racing, whether it be pavement or dirt, and I really like seeing a driver that can actually manage his equipment and make his tires last over, like, you know, 150 lap race on a really short track with only one set of tires, and there's no other options. That's all you get. You run what you brung. So I would like to see a softer tire compound because it adds that fall off component, and then you do still see comers and goers. I don't know about having an option tire at races like we did in Phoenix, where you have, you know, the harder compound and the softer compound. I don't know that I would want to do that all the time, but maybe. I don't know. I'm kind of undecided. However, I do think softer compounds for sure, 100%, because short track racing, you always see those close finishes, beating and banging. The cars are always around each other. And then I think it is really neat when it puts it in the driver's hands, because some drivers aren't as good at managing their stuff as others. And then also, let's say it's toward the end of the race and, you know, or not, maybe not even the end of the race, they're, you know, midway through the race, they're trying to conserve, yet they've got someone right on the back of their bumper coming at them. Like, what do you race hard, do you not race hard, do you burn your equipment up? I always enjoy that part of tire management.
That's been the big concern, Kelly. I think it's that everybody's going to end up on the option tire at the end of the race, so is it really an advantage one way or the other? But as long as I think the key is that they put them on far enough out, you know, that it's not the last 10 laps of the race, it's the last maybe 25 laps of the race. So maybe they haven't, you know, maybe they've used up a little of the goodie on the tires before they get to the final sprint to the finish.
Yeah, I mean, that's really kind of what we saw Sunday, right? I mean, I think majority of the field ended up on the red tires. And at that point, everybody was pretty equal, right? Because when everybody's doing it, then it's just a tire. The disadvantage was for those who didn't have any sets left. And I think Joey Logano was one of them, that because the 22 team had used theirs so early, that by the time that the rest of the field had saved them for that last run at the end of the race, Joey was going backwards because, again, he became the one on the disadvantage. So, yeah, it at the end of the race, if everybody's going to save them for that's the optimal time, which it makes sense why it is, at that point, it just nets out if everybody's going to be on the same tire. So I'm in agreement with Heather, and I wrote this for Racer in my column today. I'm at the point where I feel like after three races, we've seen enough. The drivers like it for the most part, right? I feel like there's been more positive than negatives from the industry. So I'm at the point where, why is this not just the tire? Why is not just a softer tire that drivers have been calling for years? Why is this now, why can we not just now take this to all the short tracks and maybe even the road courses? Because again, people like it, the drivers like it. And at some point, the narrative is going to turn against having two sets of tires in a race, and we're going to start hearing the negative about it. And you already kind of are a little bit, right? People are already starting to use the gimmick word. So if this is working, and if we tried it, and you've had three experiments with it, again, I'm at the point where it's like, why aren't we now just going forward with it? So
you both feel like, don't use it all the time. Don't use it more often. Just go with the softer tire, which I believe, Heather, Brad Moran said, the Cup Series director said on Sirius this week, that's kind of the intent for the championship race at Phoenix, is to come back with the option tire as the primary tire, the softer compound that's going to allow guys to kind of come and go and manage the tires, which is what the drivers want to put back in their hands.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it. Softer tire compound at the Phoenix race. I think that'd be great. Because then if you had some other, I don't want to use the word gimmick, but if you had another layer at the championship race, then people are going to probably get upset if it doesn't go their driver's way, right? So you want to keep it as normal as possible for everybody. So it's just the best car beats out everybody else in the final four, yes, based on talent, setup, strategy, as opposed to, oh, they were on the option tire, yes, and the other guys were on the primary. Like, you want to be as even keeled as you can, I think, for the championship race.
Yeah. My fear would be that if you bring, and again, they're not going to, like, they've been very upfront about this from the beginning, that there will not be an option tire for the championship race. It would just be the primary tire, because Heather's absolutely right. You don't want to find yourself in a position where we go to the championship race where the format and the one race playoff is already criticized for any number of directions. If you went to a championship race and you added in an option tire, let's say I'm Tyler Reddick from last year, where I'm clearly the slowest and the worst of the four. All right, I just saved my option tires for the last 50, 20 laps when, you know, bank on a caution. I'm going to put those tires on. I'm going to be the champion. But I ran fourth all day to everybody else, right? That's what you don't want to happen. You don't want something to be determined by who saves their tires to the end. And that's why I think even going forward, doing it the way that NASCAR and Goodyear are doing it right now, you run the risk of falling into where a race plays out like that, where a driver and a team that can't get to the front on merit has the option tires in their pit box longer than anybody else. And all of a sudden, they're top five or maybe winning the race on strategy when they were irrelevant most of the day. People aren't going to like that. So, again, that's why I'm really hoping that we can just move away from how we're doing it now and figure out a way of just getting a softer tire into all of these races.
All right. Each week on the Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to GoPRN.com and vote in our poll. And this week, you get a chance to let us know what you think about the option tires. Should NASCAR run the option tires more often? Yes or no? Last week we asked you, do you still believe that drivers will wreck their mothers for a win after that finish we saw at COTA? And this is interesting. We got 54% said yes, I still believe they'd wreck their mothers for a win. 36% said it depends on who was behind whom. And only 10% don't think they would wreck their mothers for them. Only 10% said they've softened their attitudes over the years. All right, when we come back, you're going to be seeing more of Carl Edwards at the track. Stay with us.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Imagine the roar of the engines, the smell of burnt rubber, the electrifying energy of the crowd. It feels like America. It's the Food City 500 NASCAR Weekend, April 11th through the 13th. It's racing the way it ought to be. This year, it's a triple header weekend with the thrill of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup racing packed into three heart-pounding days. Visit BristolMotorSpeedway.com for tickets and details.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Along with Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and ESPN.com and Heather DeBoe from PRN and Fox Sports. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right. Hey, Carl Edwards is coming back. Not as a driver.
How about
that? But he's
going
to be on the Prime telecasts for their five races this summer. He's going to be one of the guys on the on the desk, so to speak, not at the booth, but on the desk. He'll be there with Corey LaJoy, hosting, so to speak, pre-race, post-race. So they talk Carl into coming back. I guess he's decided he doesn't miss the sport, or he does miss the sport more than he thought he would.
Yeah. I think it's great for Prime. It's a very good get, as some would say, right, that expression, because Carl is always someone that has always been very articulate. And he's very smart, and if you can get him to sit down and really talk about racing, he's very insightful. So now for him to be able to do it outside the race car, not having a, you know, not in between activities, and only has 15 minutes, for him to really each weekend be able to dig into this coverage and be a part of it, I think is going to be a benefit for the race fans, because as I said, he's very insightful. So I have been very fascinated by the turnaround of Carl Edwards in how he walked away from the sport and the reasons he's given and, you know, felt it was the right thing to do. And then when it became clear that he was going to be approaching Hall of Fame status, he kind of starts a little bit coming out of the woodwork a little bit. Then he gets in the Hall of Fame, and now he's just back, right? Now he's going to do TV. So it's interesting how this has flip-flopped where, again, he's felt like he did what he had to do for himself, kind of refreshed and taking care of his family. But I do, again, think it's a benefit for the sport to have him in it and be talking about it.
Yeah, he'll be on there. Daniel Trotta will be the hostess, Heather, along with, as I said, Corey LaJoy, and then Carl will be the guys doing the pre- and post-race. You know, I agree with Kelly. Carl, I was always a very outspoken guy, he well-spoken as well. So I think he'll bring a lot to the table.
Absolutely. I think everybody's always wondered, like, when is Carl going to come back? He's got to come back at some point and drive again. Or where is he? Like, where did he even go? You know, everybody's always asked about that. And it's interesting to see him, like Kelly said, kind of slowly trickle his way back in. Like, I think we saw him in Darlington this past year, and a lot of people were asking him, what are you doing? What are you going to do? Are you going to get back in a car? And I think, you know, he probably deep down missed it a lot, because how do you not, when you're a race car driver? It just seems like it's part of your blood and a part of your, you know, building blocks as a person at that point. But I am kind of curious, though. I really think they should give him the opportunity to get behind one of the cars, and even just for a test, even if it's just him at the track, just so he can see how those cars are from that standpoint, because that's one thing that he can't really speak to because he hasn't driven one yet. So hopefully they give him an opportunity to do that, and then maybe they can even film it and put it on as part of like their first pre-race show or whatever. But it'll be exciting to have him back. He's always been a well-spoken and very respected and kind driver in this sport with working with media. And so it'll be nice to have him back. It's a great addition. And I think it's been really cool to see what these new networks are bringing to the table as far as the teams they've put together. And Amazon Prime has done a great job with who they've chosen for not only the pre and post race show, but Pit Road and the booth. I think it'll be really exciting to watch their little 5-race package coming up later this summer for sure.
I'm just curious if he can still do a backflip.
I'm sure he can.
I'm not going to challenge him, but
right. I'm sure he's still in very good shape. So.
Yeah. Before we take a break, I want to point out Joe Gibbs had a really good weekend last weekend. They won the ARCA race. They won the Xfinity race. They won the Cup race. And oh, by the way, their best day might have been midweek last week when they won the appeal on the Chase Briscoe penalty from Daytona by showing that they did not alter the spoiler and got all those points back, all those championship points back. And what they basically said is the part that they were supplied did not match up properly with the car. And, you know, they said they had to screw it in. And sometimes, you know, when you're trying to screw something in, it doesn't fit just right. And the screw kind of gets a little cockeyed. And that's what NASCAR saw, is the hole was not a perfect hole. And that was a huge win. I'm happy for Chase Briscoe, because this nice young man always has handled things with class. And all of a sudden he went from, you know, minus everything to all of a sudden he's jumped way up in the standings.
Yeah. As he said on social media, it was the biggest points day of his career. And he wasn't even on the racetrack. So to get 100 points back, going from, I think he was 46th in the standings to, before Phoenix, jumping to 14th. I don't know where he's
20th now. Yeah.
Yeah. He fell back down again. They didn't have a very good day getting caught up in that crash at Phoenix, but it puts them back into contention. And that was the biggest storyline for me out of all of this was, and if they had not won the appeal, all of the mulligans and all of the bad days that a team could have during the season, they were not going to be afforded those. That 19 team would have had to certainly won their way into the playoffs. They were going to have to pick up probably multiple wins to just stay in contention, right? Because there was also the negative 10 playoff points. So that's the biggest thing, is it took them from having no mulligans to a realistic chance, if they have to point their way into the postseason now.
Yeah, I mean, and those championship points were huge that Kelly's talking about, the negative 10. So even if they got a win and made the playoffs, they were going to start 10 points below everybody else in each round of the playoffs, Heather.
Yeah, that would have been such a bummer for them, especially since, you know, it's a new team for Chase Briscoe to go into, new crew chief with James Small. You know, the goal of the year should be for them to build that team and build that relationship and just keep growing and continuing to improve. But then when you had something like a penalty like that up against you, that would have been really hard to continue to build and form those new bonds and relationships and that new success as a new team and you know, crew members and everybody all together there at the 19. That would have been really difficult to do, because they always would have had that penalty kind of weighing on them. So they probably would have focused their attention more on the negative as opposed to the positives that they're seeing as they make their way through this season. So yeah, Chase is awesome. I think he's a really nice guy. I think he deservedly should be in a ride at that top tier level with Joe Gibbs Racing. And so it'll be nice to see what he can do moving forward. And they have had speed so far this season. You know, they got caught up in a wreck in Phoenix, but they've shown really good speed. And I think that they will have what it takes to make something happen.
Well, there's another guy at Joe Gibbs Racing who has had, well, you know, I don't know what he did to Mother Nature, but he made her mad. Her mother. So he made somebody mad.
Yeah.
Because nothing has gone his way so far this year. And he's not alone. Four races in, there are a couple of guys down there in the standings who really need to get things turned around. We'll talk about them when we come back.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, Every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Eric. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, race fans, head over to echopark.com/speedway and you can enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. And welcome back to the Pit Reporters, along with Heather DeBow from Fox and PRN, and also Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and ESPN.com. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Heather, there's some guys way down in the standings who have not had any luck so far this year. The guy I referred to going into the break, Ty Gibbs, 34th in the point standings. Brad Keselowski, 33rd. Austin Cindric, 32nd. I mean, these are guys that we expected to have much better starts to the year, but you start off with a couple of, you know, super speedways where anything can happen, and then you hit road courses. But, you know, we thought Austin Cindric was going to be good at the road course, and things didn't go his way. You know, Keselowski was fast at Atlanta and at Daytona. Nothing went his way. And Ty Gibbs maybe he put his shoes on in a different order or something like that. Just try to do anything to change his luck.
Yes. And I think honestly, like with Ty Gibbs, out of those three that you mentioned, he kind of worries me the most, only because this trend of having bad finishes, like he hasn't finished besides Daytona of 16th place this season. He hasn't finished inside the top 25 since October of last year. And that would have been at Talladega. So it's kind of a unfortunate finishing for him coming into this season from last season as well. And I don't know. It just seems like they haven't had good qualifying efforts. They haven't had speed. I don't know what's going on over there. Like you said, maybe he does need to put his shoes on in a different order or yeah, that's an interesting one. Cause Ty is really talented. One of the most talented younger drivers we've seen come up through the ranks in recent years. So maybe it's just one of those things in racing. Sometimes you just have a slump and unfortunately it is what it is. You go through it and then you come out the other side. It's really like nothing you can do. Just something never goes your way for maybe months at a time. And then you snap out of it. So we shall see what happens there, but he's the one I'm probably most worried about. Cause I think the other ones I just have a feeling that Austin Cindric and Brad Keselowski, like they'll have something good happen for him in the next couple of races, in my opinion. So. We'll see.
Kelly, is it easy to look at this and say, well, it's kind of an anomaly because you started the season with two super speedways and a road course. yeah, you were going to run them at some point during this first, you know, during the regular season. It's just that they were clumped together, and, you know, now we're in the quote-unquote normal part of the schedule with Phoenix and with Las Vegas and Homestead. And the guy, talking to a lot of the guys in Atlanta, they were saying, you know, wait till we get through Vegas and Homestead. Then we're going to find out what we really have.
I do think, yes, once we get through Vegas and Homestead, it'll be very clear, without a shadow of a doubt, who's fast, who's not, who has things buttoned up. But I don't want to completely dismiss this part of the season, because speed is speed. And with how many road courses we have on this schedule, you need to be good at road courses. You can't just discount, oh, well, we had a bad day at Circuit of the Americas. Super speedways, yes, it's easy to fall into the trap, because we see it over and over again of who's fast at super speedways, but maybe they don't carry that to other racetracks. So yes and no, but again, I really don't want to discount what's going on right now, because what it does is it snowballs. Because it snowballs into bad finishes means a bad metric, which means you're behind in when you're going to go out and practice, which means it's a bad qualifying draw, which means you're probably not going to have track position because you're going to qualify poorly, which means you're going to have a bad pit stall. And if you can't dig out of that, it's just going to get worse and worse, and you're just going to repeat the cycle every weekend. And before you know it, we're going to be into April and May and looking at the point standings, and these guys are going to be going, man, we just can't get out of this hole, right? Because it just gets too hard at that point. So there are some traps, yes, that we all can fall into at this point in the season. But again, I don't think we should discount what our eyes are also telling us, which is we know who's in trouble and we know who has speed. And I'm with Heather. I think Ty Gibbs is the biggest one. That team is in trouble. And they've also got a new crew chief, and that doesn't help matters either when you're struggling and trying to build chemistry. Brad Keselowski, I think, will be okay. Just the veteran experience over there, because that team, I think, has shown that they have speed. They just haven't had luck, and they've been getting caught up in things. The other one that we should mention is Cole Custer. That team, to be honest with you, I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of because of the turnover and the change at that company, and they're trying to do things differently and be more cost efficient and everything going on behind the scenes. But to be this bad and to be this far behind is not going to help momentum and confidence over there in that building. So for me, Ty Gibbs and Cole Custer are the biggest ones right now that they are on the problem train, and they have a long way to go.
Cole Custer, in essence, is a single car team at Haas factory team, even though they have an affiliation with RFK.
Right. Right. So again, an affiliation though is only going to get you so far.
Right.
And from everything that I've heard, and I don't know about you guys, but it sounds like, again, when they went through this transition from Stuart Haas to Haas factory team, yes, it's not the same amount of people over there. Some people have left. So it's not the same people. We're also hearing about, again, trying to do things more cost effective. So how much is that playing into what's going on with, their approach and just things of that nature? So it's, you know, a first time crew chief in the Cup Series, right? Cole's crew chief, Aaron Kramer, I believe his name is. There's so many variables right there that to get off to a bad start, as I said, it's just going to snowball and things are just going to pile on top of each other. And it's going to be very, very hard to get out of. But at the end of the day, if you're not bringing fast race cars, it starts with that. And I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't think we've seen one fast race car yet from that 41 team.
Heather, as you look at it, who would you expect to see? I mean, I know you said you're really worried about Ty Gibbs. Do you expect to see these guys begin to break out of this and start to get some good finishes this week? I mean, you got mile and a half, so this week and next week between Vegas and Homestead.
Yeah, I think they definitely could do it. We could definitely see Ty Gibbs come and have a great run at Vegas or Miami. See, I'm still stuck in last weekend because that race was just so great. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But I want to mention, Kelly was talking about the 41 and that crew, but some of those guys that came from Stuart Haas Racing, right, to Spire. I was talking to Rodney Childers, and you know, they've got that three car team now, and just how much hard work they're having to do on their end to get everything where it needs to be. And they said, though, that at COTA, they had all three cars finish in the top 16. And they were all mad on Monday because they feel like they've worked so hard that they deserve better finishes than that, whereas the year prior, they would have totally celebrated all three cars in the top 16. So I think some of those teams that are going through the transition year of whether they have multiple teammates, new cars, single car team, you know, they have a lot of growing pains and things that they still need to kind of work out that they're working through. So I think the team that can kind of focus and, you know, keep a good head on themselves and try not to get too overworked or overstressed and just kind of focus on day to day, like what can we do today to get better for tomorrow? Then that would be, I think, the team that can kind of pull themselves out of those holes. Cause I mean, mindset is huge. So if you put too much pressure on yourself, sometimes that can be a good thing, but too much pressure could actually lead you down the wrong direction. So it will be interesting to see what happens, but I think after these next couple weeks where we are at normal, just oval racetracks, what we're used to, bread and butter of NASCAR, then we'll see who kind of, the cream will rise to the top, essentially.
I mean, we always hear, Kelly, people say the 600 is kind of we know definitively what we have by the time we get to the 600. But it sounds like this year, Homestead really becomes mm-hmm. the point that we're going to find out really what we have. And if we got to make some major adjustments.
Yeah, and I think it was always the Coke 600 in the past just because of how the schedule lined up of what races were when. But the schedule's changed so much in recent years that, yes, particularly looking at what we're doing right now, we will have hit every style of racetrack by the time we get through Homestead. And when you have back-to-back intermediates with Vegas and Homestead, that's why, again, I believe after this, there will be no shadow of a doubt. It will be very clear. Either you have speed or you don't. And again, we've been to road courses, and we went to the fast, I know it's labeled as a short track in Phoenix, you know, that very fast one-mile oval, and then starting the year with the traditional super speedway and then the super speedway hybrid. We've seen it all. So yeah, I think that's why this time around people are looking at Homestead as, okay, we will know where everyone stacks up once we leave that racetrack, of kind of who the, if you want to say, the contenders and the pretenders at that point.
Just remember, this time last year, we wondered if Fort would ever want to race.
That is true.
When we come back, Vegas lies ahead.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
The speed, the thrill, the action. NASCAR takes over Las Vegas March 14th through 16th for the Pennzoil 400 race weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Get ready for non-stop action as NASCAR's biggest stars battle for victory. Whether you're in the stands or camping trackside, feel the adrenaline like never before. Tickets at lvms.com or call 800-644-4444. Are you ready to go all in? This is NASCAR. This is Vegas. This is the Pennzoil 400 March 14th through 16th. Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that's your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Kelly Crandall from ESPN.com, Racer.com, and Heather DeBoe from PRN and also from Fox Sports. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, this week we head to Vegas, and as we look back to, my gosh, since 2021, this has either been a Hendrick track or a Gibbs track. No, I'm sorry, a Penske track, not a Gibbs. There is one Gibbs driver that has won. But since 2021, it's been Larson with 3 wins, Bowman, Logano with 2, Byron. Mm-hmm. And then Denny Hamlin throws one in there too. I mean, this has been pretty predictable who might win this race.
It is pretty predictable, but what's not on there is the biggest storyline. And that's been that Christopher Bell could have, should have won the last 2 fall races there and was thwarted on strategy by one of those other teams and finished 2nd.
But he does have 3 poles.
Right. He has 3 poles, and in the last 2 fall races, he's led over 200 laps combined. So his name's not on that list, but it very well could be. So yes, by that measure, it is a Penske and Hendrick racetrack. But the Gibbs cars are very, very good here. They just don't have the finishes. You did mention, you know, Denny's in there. So when we go to, as we were talking about in our previous segment, when we go to this racetrack, it's going to be very clear as we keep talking about of who stacks up where. I expect this to be a Hendrick Gibbs race, but I think it'll be a very big test for the Penske cars, because this is, as you said, a racetrack that they should be good at, and we haven't really seen that yet this year, aside from the super speedways. So now, on a downforce, high speed, you need horsepower racetrack, are they where they need to be? So I'm looking at, to your point, Hendrick and Gibbs, but is it going to be Penske then at the end of the day as it normally is? So that, I think that, to me, that's the biggest storyline going into this weekend.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Heather, it was at Vegas last year that's as irritated as I've seen Christopher Bell at the end of a race. He was furious.
Yes, yes. And I think he'll probably remember that as well. And just to go back to what Kelly said, so we've had 14 drivers in the Cup Series win 4 in a row. So if he were to do that, he would join a very elite group of guys. The last one to do it was Jimmy Johnson in 2007. But he very well could end up winning this weekend and put himself in victory lane to have 4 in a row to start the season, which would be history in the making. So we'll see what happens there. But I think as far as Penske goes, Joey Logano, I think especially after their race in Phoenix and getting that penalty, they're going to be hungry to come back and be hungry to get a win. And he did win last year as well at Vegas. So we'll see what happens. And for some reason in my mind, whenever the race is sponsored by Pennzoil, it seems like Joey always has Pennzoil on the car. So in my head, I always think he wins every year, because it's just like, I just have those colors stuck in my head. And every time I go to interview him, I'm like, what would it be like to put those Pennzoil colors in victory lane for the race? Because, you know, it just seems like every year I always think that Joey Logano wins that race every time. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in Vegas. I think Larson will be strong, of course. And then maybe Willie B. I mean, those guys have been fast. They were close to getting more than the wins that they've already gotten this season as well. So we will see what happens. I just am excited that I get to be there to be a part of it all and watch it all unfold live.
How about Kyle Busch? They've been sneaky fast so far this year, Kelly. And that, you know, hey, another win at his home track.
I have been pleasantly surprised and cautiously optimistic with the 8 team, because I used the phrase earlier about how it's easy to fall into traps, and particularly this point in the season, because we've seen how good Kyle was and fast at Daytona, at Atlanta, in COTA, and it was like, all right, you know, again, cautiously optimistic, is this for real? But then they went and had another solid day at Phoenix. You know, quietly solid, didn't go and lead laps or dominate or anything like that. But for what this organization is trying to do by rebuilding themselves, essentially, and getting back to being consistent top 10 teams, to the string that they're working on right now is very impressive. And as we keep talking about kind of how people are stacking up, I'm starting to be more of a believer that, all right, maybe they do have the pieces and they have a foundation right now that they can work on as the season goes. So this weekend will be another test, as we just said, with for the Penske cars going to a high-speed racetrack. If Kyle Busch comes out at Vegas and runs another solid top 10 day and shows speed, I will take another step forward in saying, okay, I think this team is maybe not back because they're not winning races, so they're not where they want to be, but they certainly have put themselves back into contention to be top 10 players. So again, very impressed because they really fell off hard after the three races he won in 2023. And you know, last year, everybody knows, you know, how much they struggled. So with the work that they've done behind the scenes and the personnel changes and everything else they keep talking about, if they come out this weekend and do it again, I think they can certainly say, hey, we are for real and we are going in the right direction.
All right, when we come back, white flag laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Hi, this is PRN's Brett McMillan. You know, you don't spend your life just sitting around, so what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. If you download it today, you get station listening and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today. Available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And it's time now for our white flag laps. And first up from PRN and Fox Sports, it's Heather DeBow.
Well, Brett, for my white flag lap, I just want to see another exciting finish this week. I feel like every single race leading up to this point, we've had exciting finishes of drivers being neck and neck right down to the end with great battles. So I'm hoping we continue that trend in Las Vegas this weekend.
All right. I'm with you 100%. Next up from ESPN.com and Racer.com, it's Kelly Crandall.
We talked about this during the show, and I just want to reiterate it because I also put it on Racer.com because I'm with the drivers on this one. Soft tires is the way to go. We've heard it for years. Softer tires, Goodyear, give us a softer tire. They have proven they can do it, and I just really, really hope we are headed in the direction of getting soft tires throughout a race and not, as we were talking earlier, having two sets of them during a short track. So the spring 2024 Bristol race, I think, was a little aggressive in the tire wear. But if we can get somewhere there where these races are back to being tire management and in the driver's hands, I will be a very happy journalist. And I think the drivers will be very happy behind the wheel. So come on, Goodyear, soft, soft, soft.
I hear you about the softer tires. I understand exactly what you're saying. I loved what the option tires brought to the table at Phoenix. It was an unbelievable show to watch. It was a lot of fun. Strategy was all over the place, and I liked that. It brought a lot to the table throughout the race. I don't care if everybody ended up in the option tires at the end of the race. We're in the entertainment business, and that race was entertaining from start to finish because of the option tires. It made it worth watching all the way through. I would like to see the option tires run more throughout the year. I like the idea of softer tires. I like the idea of drivers having to manage their tires. I think that puts a lot of this back in the driver's hands. Softer tires, yes, it is the way to go. But I like the idea of having option tires more often throughout the season, more often than just once every now and then. Quickly, Heather, who do you like this week?
Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. I guess I'm going to go with what I said earlier. Joey Logano, he's going to come back from a not-so-good race at Phoenix and end up in victory lane in Vegas.
Kelly?
Christopher Bell.
Oh, four in a row for Bell. All the action will be on PRN. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.